Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Feel good? We've entered summer, haven't we, this whole humid heat, so forth. Probably people slow down a little bit, you know, but the prayers, if we have faith, they're speedy, amen? Or they work as He works them with us. Lord, we're gathered together. We're believing with all of our heart. And we know, although there's difficulty sometimes among the churches and sometimes among the people, Lord, that's old Satan trying to steal the victory and the joy that You have given us. The Bible said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivereth them out of every one of them. And remind Satan of that. And he delivers. Now touch the whole audience together. No matter what the test or the trial, Lord, or what they're going through, or what they need in prayer, answer them in the name of the Lord Jesus and touch each heart, uplifting them with the power of Thy Spirit, Lord. That supersedes all things. And touch everybody at a deeper walk. And the Holy Spirit to move upon them. Give the Lord a hand clap. Thank you, Jesus. Now, all right, go ahead and be seated. Boy, we've had some services, haven't we, too? Got them in there before it got hot, even. All right, now, this sermon, you know, we've had some deep messages, futuristic messages of prophecy and mysteries. And this morning, I kind of jotted down a few things here and just see what the Lord would do with them. And so we'll get into that and we'll have a restful sermon. Somehow, powerful, you know, forceful sermons sometimes, and then God just kind of lays back, and as you're trying to get all of that in your system and figure it out, then He'll come back and give you something else here. Now, you know, the time we live in with so much stress and pressure, I get letters from all over the nation, different parts, you know, and what's going on in the pressure of the nation, and with the pressure that we see coming on the land somehow. It's coming. More and more of the elect now are wanting to see Jesus than ever before. And of course, the world, they go off, you know, and the different ways to kind of ease the pressure in there. But the elect will have to have, and the church body, that is, have to have a great desire to see Jesus. Such a desire that He'll appear for them. Amen. So that desire to see Jesus come is going to come upon the earth. And that's what we're preparing for now. And you can kind of feel how in certain ways and certain things He's bringing His church together. A time to mend. But that's the hour of the church. If you're ever going to mend anything, if you're ever going to get it together, now's the time. We're living in peerless and uncertain times. And the only stable thing that you'll ever run into is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing stable upon this earth. And we have the chaotic and the madness of the nations and so forth going on everywhere, not knowing really what they do want. They don't really know what they want, except they haven't got anything, most of them think. So there's trouble all over the world. And the Bible said, in this hour, and the nations were angry. And they were angry with God, for the time had come that God was to judge the nations. So the madness, it seems like, and the turmoil and rebellion will increase until the nations are actually angry at God Himself. But the church, you don't want to get into that snake pit or whatever it is, and get into the angry of the nations and get swept up against the Lord. A time to mend, now that we kind of got that out of the way. It's a time to mend. So now, we who believe need patience, love, peace, and confident faith. How many of you believe that? Right now, we who believe, we need the love, peace, the confident faith that goes with it, because the Lord soon is going to shake the heavens and He's going to shake the earth. And this is a time to mend anything in your heart. It is a time for everything. And before Jesus comes, you want to get everything together and have it mended in there. And let the Holy Spirit control the anger that's bound to rise up as Satan does the mistreating, as Satan does this and Satan does that. He tries to get them angry. That's what he's trying to do to the nations. And let the Holy Spirit control that, get a hold of that, and the upset feelings and so forth like that. Let the Holy Spirit get a hold of that and forsake strife. Get out of strife, because that's nothing but a headache. How many of you believe that? And that's as bad as an argument, because arguments generally start strife. It is a time to mend the heart. There's a time for everything. And this is the time for us to have brotherly love, peace, and sisterly love. Amen. Children love and all what you got. One another. Don't let Satan trick you at the hour that the Lord is about to take his church out. Because that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to get them mad at one another. Trying to get them in strife at one another. Trying to get confusion in there. And then while they're busy doing all of this, the Lord will come. Because that's how it was predicted to take place. And that's exactly what has taken place now. The Bible said, prepare to be ready. Now what is to be ready? Just what I'm preaching. Have everything together. You may not do it every day, but don't let it build up. Because if it does, it's hard to shake off. You cannot shake it off. And the test and the trials, like it said, many other afflictions of the righteous, you're going to be tested. And you're going to have your trials. But the Lord delivereth them out of them all. In one way or another, the Lord will deliver you. I don't care what it is or what kind of a problem he is. Remember this. The Lord delivereth them out of them all. Or he makes a way somehow. Somehow. Even in divine providence has to come. It will come. But the Lord delivereth them out of the all one way or the other there. So prepare. Right now is the time of preparation. Witness. Testify and praise the Lord Jesus daily. Real fast notes is rolled down. I can hardly read them here. But praise the Lord daily. Testify, witness, do all you can. If you need to mend a family deal or anything, try to keep that family mended together there. A time to mend is the time we're living in. This is the time of friendship and unity, saith the Lord. A time of friendship and unity, he said. Exactly right. A time to mend. Oh, how sweet it is for the brethren to dwell in unity. David the prophet saw that. He wrote that. How wonderful it is to see that fellowship take place in the heart. Because Satan knows when the unity and the fellowship takes place and it comes in the heart, he has automatically been pushed back. He has been defeated. You must have the fellowship. You must have the love. Divine love brings that to one another. A time to mend is upon us on the land. Or during this mending season of preparing us for the outpouring and along at the same time has taken place. If you don't have what I'm preaching here this morning together and you let Satan just take and offset it somehow, then you'll be swept into the lukewarmness, swept in to the madness of the nations. And they were angry at God and the nations where it said at the end of time in there. So get it all together and don't let him sweep you away into that there. And by now or soon, we're getting close to it. Jesus is narrowing down those elected that will be. He is narrowing down the crowd. Soon, that's worldwide. Soon he will narrow it down until he's got just what he wants. And then that group is going to leave, saith the Lord. That's what he's doing. You see, the Lord is always, he brings that to a razor sharp. He got so sharp, only two were at the cross, and the third witness of the thief, he brought it so sharp. I mean, he got it down there. And each time that a revival comes, he starts bringing it sharp. In each age, he gets out what he wants. And now at the end of the age, it's at the sharpest point. And he narrows those down, and those church age seals, he narrows them down. Until he gets into the seventh that we're in now. And then that razor sword comes out. And that's a sharp point on that. And by that he cuts and he prunes and he narrows down that great crowd. He narrows down the field. And then when he narrows it down, that's where we're at now. Then a revival will come. And I mean, then he'll bring some more from the highways and hedges. And they won't have to go back out no more. Because he's got what he wants. And there's where we're at now. The sharp point. And he's narrowing them down. Only a sudden, quick work. Now, we know that he comes quickly. And we know in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. So we know on the other side of the coin, satanic forces. We know in the last 7 years that events, and especially the last 3.5, will progress tremendous. And even before that, because the Lord made those statements on the other side. You say, it looks like you got plenty of time. Man, when that hits in there, it'll just be so quick until they won't know what hit them, and it'll be over before they even know where they're at in there. Because that's the way Jesus said it was going to come at the end of the age. Even Daniel the prophet, after seeing everything that he said at the end of the age, for with it'll be be like a flood now. All at once it will come upon the people, and the Lord will take them out there. So he's narrowing them down. He's getting them right down because we're finishing the age up, and it's in the time to men. Loyal is what he requires of the elect and the bride. Loyalty. And that loyalty is that Jesus is your first love. Don't lose it like the early church did that time, and he almost threatened to move that candlestick again. And your loyalty to love Jesus first in your heart, for the scriptures saith, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Now how many is ready to see the Lord? See, that is a commandment. And one of the commandments, he must be first in your heart. And the loyalty is what he requires. That's what's going to get you out of here with your faith. And that loyalty is only produced by divine love. And that loyalty to him in your love with all thy heart, mind, soul, and body, boy, you're going to push old devil out of the way. The healing power of the Lord is going to come, and the Lord's going to touch your heart. My, so the loyalty is there. You remember one time, as much difference as there was between Esau and Jacob. Several times it showed that right in the midst of great trouble that Esau and Jacob could get along a little bit there. And they mended their ways for a while. And then the death of Isaac brought them together in divine love. Both of them came together for him. And they came to the funeral, I guess, there. And Esau and Jacob were seen again together as brothers at that time, although they were far away apart in their believing, you know. So maybe that's symbolic. If them two can mend, all the church has a glorious chance, and Satan cannot stop the mending and the love of God. Only the love of God in Jacob that affected Esau, and the love of God on Esau let them come together for that period of time there. Symbolic, futuristic, say what you want to, but probably that is a picture, finally, after Armageddon is over with, that some of those Arabs, like from Esau, and old Jacob's seed, finally they'll get together again like they did back there when Esau and Jacob got together for the last time. God was able to do it. And so through many deaths, that was one death that caused them to come together, through many deaths on the earth, whatever Arabs are left, that you and him, possibly they will shake hands together, but only divine love can do what all nations, the Antichrist, and all people could not do. Finally, God will do some of that. How many of you believe that? Boy, they will mend their hearts again, and God will heal the breach, he says. Oh, my. Just mend it right there. So, that's a good futuristic point that may come out of all the madness at first, but at the final end, because Jacob and Esau had it out so many times, but in the final end afterwards, God will bring some good thing out of all of that. And your thoughts must be stayed upon him. At the time of the age that we live in today, thoughts are pretty near on everything but the Most High, or on the Lord Jesus. Because it is a world that's programmed and computerized in such a way, and such anxieties, and so much are going on and so much to do, until the people's thoughts cannot stay upon the Lord. There's always something to take that thought off of there. But your mind should be stayed upon the Lord. Sometimes you can even work. Sometimes you can eat. Sometimes you can rest. And any time, any moment you get, have your thoughts upon the Lord. He may reveal something that way even when you're not in prayer. He may come and show you something, because he works in strange and mysterious ways there. So keep it upon him. In James 5, it said there's at least several things, maybe three or four more things, but several things that you better guard against. And it tells you right here. And it said, the judge standeth at the door. It told about the coming of the Lord at that time, that it draweth nigh. And it told the people to be stable, to be certain in your believing, to know what you believe in. Because it said, have patience. And there's two things I want to name. Have that patience. Don't be radical, tossing to wind blown here and there, but have patience. It's been a long journey through this earth, but we're going to have an eternal journey with God for a short journey here. That's exactly right. And he standeth at the door, so the patience must be there. And then it said, at that time, They wouldn't be too much patience because he wouldn't have said that. And he said, hold not grudges. The prophet did. He said, hold not judges. He's standing at the door when that happens. He's ready to come. And hold not any grudges. Don't let them build up. Satan will try to get them to build up. But that's the two things that he said when the Lord was coming close that would be there. So get rid of the grudges. Get them out of your heart. Grudges was associated right with a judge is at the door. So just before Jesus comes, but you talk about friends, relatives, neighbors, whatever you got, they're going to be grudges because James said it was going to be there. But don't be caught in the madness of all of these things. And don't be caught to where that you're tossed to and fro. But have patience in all that you ask from God. And by patience, you possess your souls. So those are warnings just before the Lord was to come that I'm giving you. And this is the way we do it. And it'll have to come in divine love. And what an hour. You know, even here in Arizona, when the weather gets hot and all the humid season's in, it's easy for your temperature to rise. You get out in the heat, and sometimes you don't feel good, you don't eat right, and sometimes it is upsetting situations, and Satan moves in. He takes advantage. It's almost as if somebody called him there, you know. And he'll move in on you. And so, I guess many parts of the nation, now if you get down to the south, the humidity is really humidity down there. You just slow down to nothing down there, and imagine. But nevertheless, he'll work through that. And it's what we have out here in the hot weather. We get out in here. But in all of that, remember, out on the deserts, it said they walked all over in the hot deserts. I mean, twice the conditions worse than we have here and many places out in there. And still it said they were valiant and did great miracles and believed the Lord against all odds. They were able to stand up for the Lord Jesus. How many of you believe that? Especially Moses and Joshua at that time and others that were out in there too that believed the Lord. And so we've got it. So there it is. Have patience. Don't let no grudges. I wouldn't be preaching that this morning if it's not going to do somebody some good. Not only here, but it goes all over the nations. And they'll tell you they have a time with that. But the Lord will deliver you out of all afflictions, and that's one of them. And he'll deliver you out of every one of them if you just put it in his hands, and he'll take over there. Then I wrote here, help one another in every way. Help one another, especially spiritually. Help the spiritually weak. And help every one of them that is weak in faith. Help is one of the ways the Bible said at the end. And in due season, you'll be blessed. So those that are weak in faith or spiritually weak, then you want to uphold and to help all that you can. If they've got an interest, you know, to go deeper. And they got an interest to do it. And then have divine love for those that are out in the streets in different places that you might witness to and might help in some form or fashion, any way you get a witness out there. And so, help one another. You know, nowadays, it's like I say, programmed, and everything's like a robot to numbers and stuff, so forth like that, that there's not much a friendly kind of people wanting to help one another, even spiritually or any other way, because we're in the hour now to where the great test has come on the earth. And out of that, God will choose and narrow down the ones that will go away with him before all hell breaks loose on this earth. It's the truth if I ever told it. And the closer we get this kind of a message, it'll never get old. That's the Lord on me. It'll never wear out. It'll always be new. It is futuristic. Even anointing come on me like in the future. It'll help. And every month or year or how long we got to stay here, this message will remain true in your heart, and there's a great anointing to help you, and it will help you. And I want to surprise pretty soon the clouds of the Lord actually begin to appear more and more with his people because he's coming in clouds. How many of you believe it? And you'll probably get a glimpse, possibly in your room. You might get a glimpse in church. We don't know how and nor he's going to do it all. But he will do it. We're entering the clouds of the Lord, and he's coming with those clouds to get his people. So now, there is a time to mend. You know, Ecclesiastes 3, it didn't use that word there. But there was a time for this and a time for that. A time to cast out, a time to gather in. There was a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to love, and a time for war, and a time for this. Well, right now, there is a time to mend. And some people may not get around to this today, but someday you'll have to face to face with mending up all these things and whatever, and have the love of God in your heart and put Jesus there first. You know, if Jesus really gets in there first, the grudges or the misunderstandings or whatever it's going to be, somehow that divine love can overcome anything. But a human nature and a little kind of love that a human nature might have in the spiritual, somewhat, by itself, it cannot overcome that. But the love of Jesus can overcome anything. I mean, he'll rule. Why? But you see, the fact is, you notice in the revival we had, that all of a sudden the Lord turned, and it wasn't me at all. And he turned, and he had all the young people and the children that he loved so much that are kind of set back sometimes. You know, for years here, they'd only come, you know, when one of them would come up here. And of late, the Lord has made a movement towards them, along with the rest that are prayed for. And all of a sudden, I think for two nights, we could hardly get to so many of those young people that come here. I had to take two nights to get through praying for those young people. It's as if the Lord was saying, those older people from maybe 25 or 30 on, we might say, it's as if they have heard the gospel and heard the gospel and heard the gospel until they don't no longer consider it serious. And they've heard it till it just kind of goes off, you know, and take it for granted. It's as if these little children are listening to the Lord because they haven't heard it so much. They haven't heard it. And they grew up to be 30, 40, 50, or 60, you know. We won't have time for that. But if they had that many years, they'd probably get the same way. They start taking it for granted. But little children, don't you now, while that enthusiasm's in your heart, remember, when that king steps forth, and boy, the archangel, the Lord himself, descends, there are going to be a lot of little fellows like you up there. Boy, you don't want to stay down here. You want to go on up with your folks, and your folks want to go on up with you. And I'll tell you, when you come towards this platform that night, all the young people in here, you made a definite move that God liked. He loves your heart because you don't even understand. You haven't heard it as much, but you got that simple little faith in your heart that God loves. And he made a step towards you to come out there and get you and to help you. So that revival, and two nights of that went on in the five-night revival that we had of the other cases. And it's just like as if God said, now, my time is coming to get the young and to help them also. And so, the older you get sometimes, not all people now. Now, we got people here that's always, you know, he's got that elect that's alert and everything. But so many in the churches everywhere and so forth. They, you know, the gospel's been here so much, they kind of let it run off them. But it's just as fresh and new as I was beginning to say in this sermon is futuristic. I believe it'll be as good and never wear out, saith the Lord. That is exactly right. So, help one another. God's love is and lives eternally. I wrote that at the end of this. God's love, it is and it lives, and God's love is eternal. And if you get into that, you're eternal with the Lord. How great it is. Now, believing the gospel, a few scriptures here. See, stay full of the anointing of the power of God. Believe the gospel, all of it. Believe in the predestination, the providence, the acts of God. Sometimes events happen that you have no power at all over. You must just stand in, like Paul said, and just stand there. Just stand and see how God's going to work it out. Nothing else you can do about it. Divine providence steps in right in the midst of all things that we do. And so does predestination take a movement in there too. So, believe the gospel, all of the gospel, the miracles, the miraculous, the second coming, the return, the gifts, and all of the divine love and the fruits of the Spirit. Believe the gospel. Don't just hear the gospel, but act and believe is what it means. Jesus said, believe the gospel. And one more thing he said, believe in the works. All of the works of the gospel. Believe in it, Jesus said. And everything that is done. And you're just going to sew it up. We're going to mend and sew up here. Then it said, believe in the light. The light. Now, what is the light? Jesus said, I am the light. And I'm the light of this world. Over and over he said, I am the light. I'm the light to mankind. The light is the Word, and the Word is the light. And the light is the Word, and the Word is the light, and the light is the Lord, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit and all, if you got the light, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, then you got the Lord Jesus. I am the light. He said in one place, I am the light. He said, I am the Word. He said, I am the Spirit. So if you've got the light, Spirit, and Word, you've got the Lord Jesus and all the manifestations of. So that's why he said, believe in the light, and you'll get them all. Glory to God right there, because it's the Word and it's the Spirit. Believe that you receive was another commandment nearly in there. Believe that ye receive. All of us have received. But it's kind of hard for all people to believe that. A moment before you play, that miracle seed is moving into position. Only I'm waiting for a faith that strikes. It's moved into position. You have received. It's about ready to spring forth, but it will not until that little faith in your heart. And when it touches, then it's yours. Although you have it, it's not yours until you believe it. How many of you believe that? Believe that you receive and hold to it. You may not get everything. Well, some things may be out of the will of God. We don't know. But if you hold to it and believe that you receive in those promises, you're going to have a staggering amount of those come to pass. And in the meantime, you're going to be able to put old Satan and push him back. Can you say amen? Glory to God. God's love is eternal. And believing the gospel, believe the gospel, all of it. I want you to stand to your feet. His divine love now for sinners can't be matched anywhere. Such great love that he had for the Jews to come to him at that time. He has the same greatest love now for the elect or for the people that are coming to God. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have long. And if you accept him now, you'll have some time to work for him. Because if you don't soon get in, there won't be much time to work for him. Can you say amen? All right. And you get back in these services now. You can repent right there and come up and see me here when I pray for the sick or whatsoever it is, because it's so powerful in anointing. Should be no struggle at all to get a hold of the name of the Lord Jesus and repent right there. What we're going to do this morning is we're going to pray in faith and believe and praise God. And let's praise God for this message, that the unity and fellowship and the unity and fellowship of the church comes together. Okay, now, we love Jesus. Let us shout and praise the victory. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.